He was still in the depths, but the Holy Spirit had stirred his heart, and he was being lifted. And he looked to the Lord, and he patiently waited or hoped in him and his word. We have his testimony. Well, later in verse 7 of that psalm, we have his exhortation. He exhorted Israel to hope in the Lord, to follow his example. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So we have the example, or the testimony, but then the exhortation. Well, let us follow his example and give heed to his exhortation. Let us hope in the Lord. Wherever you are tonight, whatever you're facing, hope thou in the Lord. There's much to discourage. Difficulties come our way. We find ourselves in perplexing situations. Let us pause tonight and hope in the Lord. And just note these words here. It's a prayer, isn't it? The psalmist is praying. He's opening up his heart before the Lord. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. And it's good to get to that point where we can tell the Lord what we're doing. We are waiting, we are hoping, we are in expectation of thy salvation. Thou wilt deliver, thou wilt help. And one day there will be that glorious resurrection and redemption will be complete. That is the application of it. Well, let us hope then in the Lord. Now, we saw last week the peace the psalmist had in his heart. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. He speaks generally of others who love the Lord, but it's his own testimony. Well, with that peace filling his heart, he looked to the Lord and he placed his hope in the Lord and his salvation. Quietly in peace, he was hoping in the Lord. Well, let's come directly to our text then. And we'll consider, first of all, hope, and particularly I'd like us to consider that tonight, hope. But the second word is obedience. Hope and obedience. And we see in the verse, these two things go together. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. It was his testimony. He had been hoping and he had been obedient. But let's particularly tonight consider the first of these, hope or hoping. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. It was the testimony of the psalmist. He had hope, or he had hoped. The Hebrew word sobar can be translated here as hope, and it has the meaning to expect, to wait, to watch. He was watching for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. He had this hope in God's salvation. And dear brethren, what a blessing it is in a difficult day to have hope. When so much seems against us, to have hope in God's salvation. The Lord has promised that we will be delivered from all our difficulties. We see that in Psalm 34. We know the truth. And we have that promise for us there. What a blessing to have hope. To be in expectation. Yes, I believe what thou hast said. Now I'm waiting for the deliverance, for the help that will come. Well, we have hope. We have hope in the Lord and his salvation. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Well, let's just focus first of all upon the Lord. It's his salvation, isn't it? So ultimately, we're having hope in him. In Timothy 1 verse 1 we read, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He is our hope. When we think of salvation, it's his salvation. So we're hoping in him and his salvation. We have this hope. The Lord is the ground of our hope. And as we consider this hope, there is this hope for all good things which come to us through the Redeemer, which is promised in the Word. Now the ground of our hope, as already mentioned, is our triune God. Because of him, we have hope. Yes, at times we can be weary and we can be perplexed and struggle, but he's the ground of our hope. When we know that little reviving, when we know that little lifting, as we see in Psalm 130, we focus on the Lord, do we not? And we have this hope in him. He is the ground of our hope. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. Lamentations 3 verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. I hope in him, he belongs to me. He is the portion of my soul. I have hope in him. This expectation, this patient hope because of him. He will come to our aid in his perfect time. We patiently wait. There is this hope then, because of the Lord. Here's the psalmist, he's turning to the Lord. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. It's his testimony. It's what he's been doing because he knows the Lord and he knows that the Lord is the ground of his hope. Well, let's just think of this word hope or hoped here a little more in verse 166. A child the night before their birthday may not be able to get to sleep. Why? Because they're thinking of the presents that they hope to have. Perhaps one of their brothers or sisters has whispered in their ear, you know you're going to get this. And there's this hope, this expectation. You may be waiting for a parcel. You've ordered something. And you're waiting for the lorry to come or the van to come or the postman. You have this hope, this expectation. You wait. But oh, consider this hope we have in the Lord. It's sure. A confident, sure persuasion in God and his salvation and good things that are promised that come through Christ. We are in expectation. We may at times say, how long, Lord, till I know deliverance? But we are in expectation because of God. Now, as we think of hope in general, there is a groundless hope which men have. A groundless hope. Let me just illustrate this. By using an illustration the Puritan Thomas Manton sets forth, a beggar or a man in the street may hope to become king. Well, he's got no hope at all, has he? So there's a groundless hope. But then there is what Thomas Manton calls a probable hope. A probable hope. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. And we see there this hope. Thomas Manton speaks of it as a probable hope. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. And we see there the sowing forth, that's not the particular verse I was thinking of, but there it is, the one who goes forth sowing in hope. He goes forth sowing in hope, and we can think of a farmer. He sows his seed in hope of a harvest. It's a probable hope, because the Lord has blessed so often. But a storm may come, and the crop may be ruined the week before the harvest time. But it's a probable hope. Well, having considered a groundless hope and a probable hope, we come now to the hope we have before us. It's a firm and certain hope. There's no question. It's an expectation. We can be assured of God's salvation. There's no question here. Yes, we may struggle. We may have doubts arising in our hearts, but this hope is assured because God has promised And God will not go back on his word. It's a firm and certain hope. It is a sure hope. We hope in the Lord. And therefore we can expect all good things that are promised in his word to come our way through Christ our Redeemer. He has promised help. We wait in expectation. He has promised strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, our eyes may fail in looking, but it's a sure hope. Now consider him and certain things about him so as to stir up this hope. Firstly, consider his mercy. In Lamentation 3, verse 22, we read, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." There Jeremiah thinks of the mercies of the Lord, and just prior to that, he wrote this. "This I will recall to my mind, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." He thinks of God and mercy, and he has hope. And just think of the mercy of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the pity of the Lord. Just consider those attributes. Does it not give us hope? He is so good to us. He's never failed us, has he? He's so kind. He's so merciful. Just think of the goodness of the Lord. You can have hope. You can be assured because of his goodness. What do we sing in Psalm 23? "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The psalmist, he had a sure hope as the Lord in goodness had blessed him so far. He was in expectation the Lord in his goodness would continue to bless. Think of the mercy of the Lord then. The goodness, the kindness, the pity of the Lord, all summed up in mercy. Psalm 103, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy." We can have hope then. "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." It's everlasting. He will never fail you. He always looks on you in pity. You can be in expectation. New every morning are his mercies. Great is his faithfulness. You can have this sure hope. There's no question because of the mercy of the Lord. But then consider secondly his faithfulness. Lamentation 3 verse 23. The psalmist there, considering hope and mercy, "Great is thy faithfulness." Just think of the faithfulness of God. He hasn't failed you, has he? He's faithful. Therefore, you can look to the future. You can have this sure hope. He will not break his promise. Think of the promises he has given. Summarized under that great promise of eternal life in Titus 1 verse 2, he's faithful. All the promises will be fulfilled. You desire help or strength in the future? You have a sure hope of it because of the faithfulness of God. He won't break his covenant. He will further help and deliver you. He is faithful. All good will come your way through Christ, that which is promised, because he is faithful. Titus 1 verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world." You think there of hope and the faithfulness of God. He cannot lie. He has promised before this world. There was the promise of eternal life. And he will not go back on his covenant, therefore you can look to the future. You can tonight, wherever you are, look up. Yes, God is going to help me. God is going to bless me. He is faithful. Psalm 89 verse 2, "For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very..." God's faithfulness is declared. You think of the sun, it shines forth. Think of God's faithfulness. It shines forth in the very heavens. You can be in hope. So firstly, consider his mercy. Secondly, his faithfulness. Thirdly, he is our God. He is your God. In Psalm 73, verse 26, we read, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I was talking to a certain Christian earlier today. She's going to have an operation next Thursday. And that's one of her favourite verses. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If you look within, you won't find much there to give you hope. But you look to God, you'll find a great cause for hope. And the consideration is there that he belongs to us. He is your God. And he'll never turn his back on you. The Lord belongs to you. The Lord is your portion. Psalm 73 verse 26. If you have God, you can hope all the way to eternity. There's the ground of hope. God is your God. Oh, at times we're weary. Doubts can come our way. But when we're helped to focus on God, we can see our way all the way to eternity. We can be in expectation. What an inheritance. Children, young people here tonight, what are you looking for in life? I know for many of you, your focus is on the Lord, but perhaps an inheritance one day. What an inheritance you already have if you have the Lord. You have him, and he will never forsake. He will never totally withdraw himself from us, despite our sin. He will be there, and therefore he will come to our aid. We're thinking of hoping in God's salvation, where he belongs to you, and he will help you. We're exhorted in Lamentations 3, verse 26, to hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you can, because you have God. Just pause. We're thinking of hoping in God's salvation, and you have God as your portion. It's a sure hope, isn't it? Be in expectation. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And you know it's a blessing when we're there quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord. We can have hope. At times, however, we may be fainting in affliction. We're weary. But at such a time, it's important that we seek to look to God and place our hope in him. Psalm 119, verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You see, he's honest. It's good to be honest. What's one of the beauties of the singing of psalms? We see there a man pouring out his heart. We see there a man struggling. But then we see the Lord reviving. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. We know what that's like at times. We're weary. Yes, we believe God is going to help us and deliver us in his good time. But it's hard at times, and the burden is on us, and we faint, the soul faint. I've never fainted naturally, if I could put it like that, or physically. I don't know what it is to faint. Some of you may have fainted. I've never fainted in my life, but I know what soul fainting is, and I'm sure you do, even if you don't know what it is to faint physically. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. How long, Lord? But then the little reviving. But I hope in thy word. He was fainting, yet he was not without hope. He was cast down, but he was not without hope. We see there he was ascending out of the gloom. Hope was building. Some of these evenings you may have noticed the clouds building up. And they get larger and larger. I was over Lindus the other day, one evening, and saw these great big storm clouds building behind Bolton's bench trees. Building up. Well, it's not a storm cloud building up here in the psalmist's heart. It's hope building up, building and building. And he's ascending out of the gloom. He was fainting. But hope is building, and it's precious, isn't it? We may be on the ground, but then suddenly the Holy Spirit, as it were, and we begin to look up. We begin to focus. And we begin to place our hope again in the Lord. I hope in thy word. I'm waiting, Lord. I'm tarrying, expecting. I was running around in my mind, but now I'm tarrying, or at least beginning to tarry. I'm not without hope. I'm in expectation of good in view of the word. There's the promises of help and deliverance, salvation. And though I've been weary, though I've known so fainting, now I'm hoping in thee. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Mountain. When your souls are apt to faint, let hope look out for better times or better things. For better times and better things. And I can tell you plainly tonight, better things. Better times are ahead of you. Think particularly of eternity. We can have hope. But think of this world. The Lord's going to help you again and again. And one day you'll be delivered from all your trials. You'll see the hand of God's salvation. The psalmists have been weary, but they have been a little reviving. From your depths, look unto him. Place your hope in him. Do not we see that in Psalm 130? Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. You see the psalmist, he's being lifted, he's still in the depths, but he's being lifted up through those depths. And he's hoping in the Lord, hoping in fatherly forgiveness, hoping in deliverance and help. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait in his word. In his word do I hope. Dear brothers and sisters, deliverance will come. Blessings will follow in accordance to the covenant of grace. You can be assured. There's difficult days for the church, and we face personal difficulties on our journey. But take comfort. There is more blessings to come. Hope in him. Keep looking. Keep hoping. Psalm 71 verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. That psalm has been coined the old man's psalm. And there the old man in his old age is still hoping. And as the years pass, still hoping God. And then to the future, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I will. Because God is my God, he is merciful, and he is faithful. Psalm 131 verse 3, here comes the exhortation to the church of Jesus Christ. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. From henceforth and forever, let there be a refocusing. Consider God. Consider what he's going to do for you. He's going to help and support you. You're going to see his salvation again and again until you see Jesus in heaven. Hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. In eternity, we'll still be in expectation of even more blessing and joy and happiness. We'll just keep on hoping. Forever. Hope in him. Hope in the Lord Jesus. Remember what Paul said in Acts 28 verse 20. For this cause therefore have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. The hope of Israel is the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul went on to preach in verse 23 of that chapter. And if you cross-reference 1 Timothy 1 verse 1, you'll see it's confirmed there as well. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the hope of Israel. Certain ones in the Old Testament were hoping, were waiting. Remember Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the Lord to draw near, but he's the hope of Israel. Here is an eye to Christ, the hope of Israel. They were looking in the Old Testament. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They were waiting for the deliverance or salvation through him. They were in expectation of a better day because of him. John Gill, commenting on Psalm 130 verse 7, wrote, "The Messiah, who was the hope of Israel as well as the Saviour of them, the object, ground and foundation of hope, of all blessings of grace and glory, and in his word of promise concerning the coming of Christ and salvation by him, concerning the pardon of sin through him and eternal life by him." What a lot John Gill got out of Psalm 130 verse 7. Hoping in the word. He's the word, do we not see in John chapter 1. Keep your eye on the hope of Israel. He's the hope of the church. We see declension at times. We live in a day of small things, but we have a king who rides prosperously. Our hope is in him. Sadly, there are some in the church who hope in entertainment, who hope in worldly ways. Let your hope be in the king. He is the one who will bless. He was the one who will show forth salvation, the hope of Israel. It's a lovely title, isn't it? We think of many of the titles of Christ. Wonderful Counselor. He's the King. He's the Lion. He's the Lamb. He's the hope of Israel. And he's still the hope of Israel. He's the hope of Israel in this area. He's the hope of Israel in Devon and Cornwall. He's the hope of Israel in England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. He's the hope of Israel in this world. And it's a firm, sure hope. And so Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Let's place our hope in the hope of Israel, who also is the consolation of Israel. We hope in him and he draws near to comfort us and speak to us, to revive and stir our hope, that we will be more focused on him who is the hope of Israel. As he is the hope of Israel, not some man, but the Lord Jesus Christ, our hopes will not be dashed. How men can let others down, but the hope of Israel will never let his people down. Your hopes will not be dashed. Your hope of good, of God's salvation, your hope of the fulfillment of the promises of Scripture, your hope will not be dashed. Now just notice, as we draw to a close, the testimony here. "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation." He looks back. He'd faced persecution, as we saw in verse 161. There were testing days. He had failed the Lord. But here's his testimony. "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation." In times of trial, but also to the future. You see, he's looking back, but he's still looking to the future as he looks back. "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. I did, and now it's come to my aid. And thou wilt come to my aid." Here's his testimony. Where are you at this present time on your journey? Are you perplexed about something? Cast down? Will you place your hope in the Lord? Psalm 42 verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my soul." Do you ever talk to yourself? You have a little conversation, but the psalmist did. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" And what's happening there is The psalmist had been cast down, but the Lord is stirring his heart and the psalmist is beginning to focus. I need to hope in the Lord. Here's the remedy. Hope thou in God. Are you perplexed? Cast down? Place your hope in the hope of Israel. Your hopes will not be dashed. Secondly, do you feel hemmed in? Remember the children of Israel, they were hemmed in by the Red Sea. There was panic in the camp. They were for running, but where could they run? Some were for returning to Egypt, but that would not do. There was Moses, calmly hoping in God's salvation. Exodus 14, verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Egyptians were there, they were hemmed in the Red Sea. Moses calmly was hoping in God's salvation. You may feel hemmed in. You look around. What's going to happen? Look up. And may God give you that grace like he gave Moses to hope in his salvation. Precious words found in Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. He makes the way in the sea. And Moses was in expectation of that. There may be a great river of difficulty before you, or an ocean of adversity, and you think, how am I going to get through? Well, here's the promise. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters. You have expectation. God will lead you through. Sometimes he leads us so we don't have to go into that trial. But at other times he leads us through the trial. He makes a way. And your present situation, he will make that way through and you'll see God's salvation. Think of the children walking through the Red Sea. Often thought of this. Did they see the fishes coming near to the edge of the water? Just think of those children looking at the great sides of the sea. Here's God's salvation. There's a way through. You will see God's salvation. You will see God again and again stretching down his hand of mercy to support you and carry you and in time deliver you. You're going to see. Oh, be in expectation like Moses. You may look around. You look out, you may shed a tear, but look out. Now we as individuals are to seek to have this testimony, but collectively as the people of God. Lord, I have hope for thy salvation. Encourage one another and let us all be saying it. We're hoping in thy salvation. And pray to him that he would deliver, being in expectation. Jeremiah 14, verse 8. Oh, the hope of Israel, the saviour thereof in time of trouble. Why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? There's the people of God, they're crying. It seems the Lord has removed himself to a distance, like a stranger in the land. Oh, hope of Israel, the saviour thereof in time of trouble. When you feel like, where's the Lord? I'm sinking in this trial. Remember, he is the saviour in time of trouble. Oh, hope of Israel. It's good, isn't it? When we have these joint prayer meetings. When we come together on a Friday night, a number of churches here in this place. And we cry out to the hope of Israel. And others up and down the country, other churches gathering together on the same night or different nights, praying to the hope of Israel. And we've been praying for a long time, haven't we? Year after year. Let me tell you tonight, our prayers are not in vain. Our hopes will not be dashed. Oh, the hope of Israel, the Saviour thereof in time of trouble. He's the Saviour. He's the counsellor. He so knows how to help his people in trouble. He so knows how to help the church in the 21st century. Let our hope be in him. It's a lovely title for Christ, isn't it? The hope of Israel. We're not without hope because we have Christ with us in the midst. In the storm, we need to look to our captain and hope in him. Let me just use an illustration as we draw to a close. In a storm years ago on those great big ships, the captain would appear on deck in the midst of a storm, and the sailors would gather round. And the captain would say to his men, "Trust me, all will be well." And this rallies the sailors, and they place their hope in the captain's word, and they return to their stations as men of hope. But there's a little boy. They used to have boys to go up the rigging, didn't they? On these tall ships. There's a little boy who is fearful, going up the rigging in a storm. I would have been. But an older sailor comes alongside. "You have hope in the captain's word." And that old sailor had learned by experience the captain's word was good. Oh, let us have hope in our captain. We may be fearful at times, but let us have hope in our captain. He will see us through. Oh, we must close. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. The psalmist is speaking to the Lord. Where are you tonight on your journey? Have you already said to the Lord in this sermon, "I'm trusting thee with the situation that's before me. I'm hoping in thee"? It's one thing to think about hope, but the lesson is here. The psalmist is telling the Lord. I'm sure you can tell the Lord tonight. "I'm believing. I'm hoping." Yes, there may be doubts. Remember that man in the Bible, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." And we're told he said it with tears. We get there to that point. We struggle and we may cry, but "Lord, I'm believing. Help them, I am believing. I'm hoping in thee. Help me where I struggle." Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. And you know, when we focus on this, it helps us, doesn't it? To tell the Lord, "We're hoping in thee. We're hoping in thy salvation." Tell the Lord. Psalm 56 verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." When I get fearful next time, I'm going to trust thee. I'm going to confide in thee. I will trust thee. In light of this tonight, I will hope. Talk to the Lord. And let the Lord settle your mind. You think of the mother. Sees the little child upset. And the mother picks up the little child and begins to speak to the child. "What's up? You know, all will be well." I remember my mother used to do that often with me. Let the Lord settle your mind. Listen to him in his word. There are the promises of God's salvation. Look to the future. He will deliver. He's not forgotten us. We are on the victor's side. The church is on the victor's side. Let's hope in him. Let's tell him, "Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation." Hoping in God is a blessing. We haven't got time to open this up as we close, but it's a blessing to our own hearts, isn't it? When we a fresh hope in the Lord, it lifts us, doesn't it? It strengthens us through the Holy Spirit. And it makes us more heavenly minded. We see this in Romans 8 verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting or hoping for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. We look up to him, we place our hope, and we think of the things promised. And it makes us heavenly minded. It stirs heavenly thoughts within, doesn't it? The Puritan Thomas Manton says, it sharpens our affections after heavenly things. Hope stirreth up serious thought of heaven and blessedness to come. You're hoping in the Lord, and all that he has promised in life and in eternity. And it lifts your heart, and you have these heavenly thoughts. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. You see, the hope stirreth up heavenly thoughts in the apostle's mind, and does it not in our thoughts and in our minds? And it helps us to walk in the godly way, as we see in 1 John 3, verse 3. Lord, I have hoped in thy salvation. In closing, just think of this. Waiting for God's salvation. The Lord from heaven is going to bless you. In life, in death, in eternity. Lord, I have hoped in thy salvation. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, we thank thee for thy word, the testimony of the psalmist. And Lord, we can say it tonight. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. At times we've struggled. At times we need to say like that father of old, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But Lord, we believe. And Lord, we are hoping. We thank thee for our blessed Saviour, the hope of Israel. We're not without hope, and our hopes will not be dashed. The hope of good promised in thy word. And we thank thee that the hope of Israel is in the midst, and he is also the consolation of Israel. And may he who is the consolation of Israel encourage and console us, and in turn through his Spirit stir up hope within, that we will be more in expectation of blessings in our lives, of blessings in the church, of blessings in heaven, and blessings in eternity. O Lord, impress upon us this lovely title of Christ, the hope of Israel. Lord, therefore, come the storms, come the trials, come the difficulties. We are in expectation of good in the Church of Jesus Christ here in this world. Help us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We turn to our second praise, Psalm 130. We'll sing from the fifth verse. I wait for God, my soul doth wait, my hope is in his word. Psalm 130 was seen from the fifth verse down to verse 8.
I wait for God, my soul that waits, my hope is in his words, more than they that the Lord in what
for those of you who have joined us via the live stream, may the Lord richly bless you again tonight. Be assured of the prayers and love the congregation here at Ipswich. Just a reminder, we meet this coming Lord's Day at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. in the evening.